call toll-free 1-866-SEE-JOYCE or visit us online at joycemeyer.org.
Thanks for listening today. Again, to order today's offer, just head to our website or call. Until next time, remember, glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This is the key to enjoying everyday life.
Hi, this is Dennis of the Home Times, a good little newspaper for God and country. I want to send you a copy. To receive Home Times, I'm available at 888-439-3509. I believe we have a powerful weapon for righteousness at our disposal, prayer. Let's put God in control. To receive Home Times, I'm available at 888-439-3509. 888-439-3509.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea. No questions in chapter 1 or chapter 2 when there was fellowship between the man, his new bride, and the Lord. No questions. All decrees. Here comes the devil. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, the first mistake, the woman responded to that. And doesn't it just cause the hair on your neck to rise when you're full of joy? And here come the devil looking like a person. And they ask the question that just pops your balloon. Now, you can't shake it. Anybody ever felt that? Like they just stole your joy. You wonder why you feeling like you feel it. The devil just stole your joy. Because he understands the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you're not joyful, you're not going to want to say what God is saying. What's going to happen is that those questions are going to start flooding your mind. And you're going to be thinking, this is what I've been saying, but this ain't the real way it is. Look, you're going to start being surrounded by facts. The world going to close in on you. The reality of the natural realm is going to try to begin to dominate you, which is based or predicated upon questions. I'll show you that in a minute. I'll show you the principle in a minute because it's based upon questioning. See, the natural wants to take precedence over your spirit. And the natural is cloaked in questioning, uncertainty, fear, doubt, where your spirit man is part of God, is in the God class. That when you start to decree, when you get in that proper place, it's like your faith sets sail. It's like there's joy, there's peace, everything is moving. The river is flowing through you. So here come the enemy. Yay.
Yay.
It's like he said to Eve, yo. You sure God said? And boom. Wasn't nothing but a seed, but it was the seed of doubt. When God created to decree. Now look here. The primary definition of the word question is a matter of doubt. So this is where the little fox starts. I'd be confident to tell you this morning, the enemy knows he can't just come and overwhelm you with stuff. You down for that. You recognize him in the morning, but he comes with the seed. To try to loosen the fabric of your faith. To get you to question. See, the whole definition of question is a matter. It deals with the matter of doubt. When God didn't make you like that. Okay? So he sows the seed. A question. Somebody say a question. So ultimately what happened in chapter 3 of Genesis is our parents, they made an exchange. They exchanged their decrees for questions. Look at the world it produced. It don't matter. That's why everybody's practicing. The physicians, they don't have the answers. Remember what we said last week? True knowledge is not learned. It's discerned. I'll say that again. Real knowledge, true knowledge, It's good to learn, and it's because we're in this world, and it's the way this world operates. Do you know when you get to heaven, or when we're with all the other saints, do you know that you're not going to have to ask anybody's name? You are going to know as you are known. You know why? Because in that realm, there's nothing hidden. See, that's why God wants us to make decrees and operate like he operates, so that in our lives, there's nothing hidden. We can discern what is of God. We can discern where the enemy is operating. We discern what's coming, like Issachar, understanding times. And we can know what we're to do to be effective and not confused about stuff, not wondering about stuff, not complaining about stuff, not questioning stuff. But no, in heaven, there's no questions. There's no shadows, no shadow of turning. Huh? Isn't that wonderful? You'll know Paul when you see him. You'll know relatives that you never met. You'll know him. Why? Nothing is hidden in that realm. It's all light. In the garden, they exchanged their decrees for questions. Say that with me. They exchanged their decrees for questions, and in so doing, they broke the lease. When they did that, they were no longer authorized. They broke the lease, and they gave authorization to the one that bought the foreclosure. Adam and Eve foreclosed on the earth. And there was the devil who hooked and crooked and got it. Because God made a lease for them. He gave them a lease. Because the earth is the Lord's. He leased it to man. Let them have dominion. He gave it to man. He leased it to him. But the devil stole it. Adam gave the lease to the enemy. Now the sad thing about that is they became a product of the exchange. Adam and Eve became a product of the exchange. Now look what they produced. The first one they produced was Cain. Cain was a product of the exchange. And the Bible is quick to tell us in Jude that Cain was of that wicked one. The devil had the lease. Adam and Eve had exchanged their decrees for questions. So the first thing they produced was a Cain. Is that what you're producing in your life? A bunch of Cains, a bunch of Ishmaels. I'm giving you a simple formula how to get back on track. How to produce the garden that will produce what God promised it will produce for us to be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and have dominion. Tell somebody, that's my call. That's who I am. They produced a Cain. Then they produced Abel. Now understand something about Abel. Abel was not in Adam's image. Nor was Cain. Cain was in the image of the devil. He was up. Read it yourself in Jude. Cain was of that wicked one, the devil. But see, God being who he is, he produced an Abel. Cain has to do with questions. So God brought a counterpart. Because see, in chapter 4, you read where Adam knew his wife Eve, and they bore a son. His name was Seth. And he was in Adam's image. Not Abel. Abel was a type. As a matter of fact, let me take you a little further with this. Remember when they were taught how to bring offerings unto the Lord? Cain's offering was not accepted. Abel's offering was. Amen. Here, catch this. Abel was in a position, because his offering was accepted, to go back into the garden. That's why Cain killed him. He was a type. He could have reconciled. His offering was accepted. He would have eventually gone back into the garden to where the tree of life. You see, that's why the devil killed him. And see, Adam and Eve became a product of their exchange. You got questions now and decrees. You got stuff that come from the devil and that come from God. And see, the stuff that come from the devil is the natural stuff that will always try to kill the stuff that come from God. That's where many struggle today. And they allow that nature that is Cain, or of the devil, that is carnal or fleshly or subjected to what is natural, to govern over what is spiritual. Amen. And let me tell you something. Cain will always try to kill your Abel. Amen. Because he knows your Abel is going to get you positioned right again. He knows your Abel is going to get you back to eating off the tree of life. That Abel is going to get you back into your position of authority. That Abel is going to get you back to where you're fruitful, multiplying, replenishing, subduing, and having dominion. So Cain is out to kill Abel. They became a product of their exchange. Now the devil had place. And not only did he kill Abel, you see, if you let the devil ride, he ain't going to want to just ride. After a while, he going, let me drive. Come on, Lord, drive. Come on, get you some rest. Let me drive. It's a long ride, you know. You start fanning, you start getting sleepy behind the wheel. You're, I think I'll let you go ahead and drive for a little while. You wake up and you in a whole nother place. Where we at? Ha ha. This ain't where I wanted to go. Ha ha, this is where we going. Take you where you don't want to go, keep you there longer than you want to stay, and won't let you go when you want to go home. You got the Cain and the Abel. See, that they became a product of the exchange. This is what they produce. But thank God that he had a plan. See, even in your distress, in your mess ups, in your mistakes, God has manifold wisdom. You know, God can get you out of any mess. Ain't no mess too hard for God to get you out of. If you'll get back to your rightful place and start, now it might take a little while, but he can get you out. He can reconcile some stuff. He can restore some stuff. He can put some stuff back because that's who you are. It's like the prodigal. When the prodigal left his father's house, he got himself in a big mess. But when he decided to come back to his father's house, he was thinking, I'll be a servant and have a seat. The father got bigger plans than that. So you think, well, God can restore this, but it'll never be the same. No, God got bigger plans than you think. How many know God is the God of a second chance? Some of y'all ought to be shouting right now because not only a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, a fifth chance. Listen, God gave King David a second chance. David became the greatest king ever to rule. As a matter of fact, Jesus sits on his throne right now, the throne of David. Peter denied God, amen, three times. But on the day of Pentecost, he was the one God chose to stand up and say, these men are not drunk as you suppose. He was the God of a second chance. Jonah, when he was told to go to Nineveh, ran the other way. God allowed him to be swallowed by a whale. But he spit him out. Can you imagine what Jonah looked like? The acid in that belly, in that whale's belly, to digest the food. But he ran to Nineveh. 3-day journey took him a day and a half. God gave him a second chance. Tell somebody there's no mess too big for God to get you out of. Amen. He's a God of a second chance.
We are continuing in our series entitled Dominion, the Release Agreement. Faith doesn't make things easy, it makes things possible. We, the body of Christ, must keep our joy because it is a weapon. Adam and Eve lost their dominion by exchanging their decrees for the devil's questions. The enemy came in and planted the seed of doubt, and faith stopped operating. The natural man would take over the spirit if he could. However, true knowledge is not learned, it is discerned. Knowing whose we are and who we are will eliminate every seedbed of doubt, and it will allow us to proclaim the word of God with power and authority. Joy is a daily choice, and paired with trust, generosity, and forgiveness, the enemy is defeated on every front. Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.